may be seated. This subject that we're talking about this morning is primarily what happens to the person, the Christian, when he sins. The Word of God tells us that some men's deeds are punishable here, and some, of course, go to eternity. And that's the Christian man or woman. We do not get away with sin. We can play around with it. Several years ago, and I'll try to tell this story so that I'm not being too pointed, but you probably will guess close. In a church not too far from here, a large church, a going church, this man was the assistant pastor. And when they had the auditorium class, Sunday school class, it'd be almost full. He would take his youth out on Sunday night trips, came to our church when I was pastoring out at Dublin Mills, and do special services. And it was just, the pastor looked like a great leader, but it was that man that was really making that church go. And he felt God had called him to home missions, and he went to work out near Philadelphia. And I kind of lost track of him. And I was stopped in that church not long after that, long time, I guess. And I saw this man, hair all rumpled, his clothes all dirty. And he said, "Hi, John." And he walked out about as far as the pew, circled back and said, "I'm in a terrible shape." I said, I'm sorry. And then it dawned on me, he was that young, used to be spiffy looking guy, ever hair in place and clothes immaculate. I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Well," he said, "I got on the computer and started looking online, and I started talking, and then after I started talking, I started meeting some women, and I'm in a terrible shape." We don't always get to see the last picture in the frame of what sin does and what it does to the Christian. And God doesn't let us get away. Some of the people, we're drawing a few comparisons, and you've heard us talk about them before. We'll talk about them. But I'd like to take you through how he works, first of all. Point number one in my message this morning, the devil doesn't come to us with a burning tail and horns and a fork and, "I'm here to destroy you and your life and your family, your testimony." The devil comes as an angel of light, which he is. A little funny story told about that, if we can digress for a moment. Out in West Texas somewhere, they was having a great revival in a little country church. People were coming, packing the place out. And people were just praising the Lord. The evangelist, if the devil was here, I could feel so good. I could just whip him, pastor. And they were just going and going and going. Well, some young kids thought they'd play a prank. So when the church was right at its peak one night, going to real hot, one of them dressed up like they thought the devil ought to look, with a tail and a pitchfork, and jumped in and said, "I'm the devil." Well, every person in the church jumped out of the pew and left. Preacher went out one window, and the evangelist went out another one. One big lady, she couldn't get out. She was sitting there, and he pointed at her. She said, "Mr. Devil, I'm faithful here. I'm here all the time. But I want you to know I've been on your side the whole time." Sad, that's probably more truth to that than humor. But the devil doesn't come like that. He comes. Notice how he went to Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was more subtle. than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, the strongest thing is brought out in our Sunday school class today. The strongest offense or defense weapon that we have, either one, is prayer and Bible. The devil can't stand against the word. When they were ready to take Jesus in a garden to crucify him, and they said, those guards with armed weapons said, we're looking for Jesus. And he said, I am he. And when he said that, the Bible says they fell backwards. I am. When Moses was afraid to go and be the leader, he said, who am I going to tell I sent him? He said, I am. That's powerful, powerful, the word of God. But the devil wants to question that word of God. Hath the devil said? Hath God said? Hath God said it? Is it? Does God really mean that? Is Pastor Hodge, does that really apply to today? It's different today, and we need to update the Bible. We don't need to update it. We just need to load it and fire it. It still shoots and goes right straight to the heart. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it goes in cutting asunder everything that's false, everything that's phony, and gets right to the course of what is there. So remember that. When you leave the Word of God, you become subject to falling in sin. We take David first, how the devil, with his subtlety, attacked him. Notice what he did first to get himself into a mess in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at that time the kings go forth into battle. We've got a bunch of cowards today. Well, we shouldn't get involved. We are involved. We live in this world. This world, God says, occupy till I come. Satan stole it from God. We're to get every bit we can. He said he went to battle. That David sent Joab. Joab was one of his chief guards, and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Ramoth. Now get this phrase, listen to it. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. That president over there in Ukraine is getting out and leading his men. That's the kind of leader David was. But this one time, he let it slip. He stayed behind. I think I'll stay back and rest, perhaps. I'm digressing. I'm saying what I thought his reasons were. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It just tells us he stayed behind. He didn't go like he should have. Then notice in verse 2 what happens next. And he came to pass in an evening tide. David arose after he rested on his bed, had his drink, had his food, getting ready maybe to eat another snack. And he got up off the bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. First problem, stayed behind. Second problem, looked. And go on and read the story. Got involved in adultery, and then he had to have the man killed. And not only that, we'll see it later, but the baby conceived in an adultery situation died. Be careful of your steps. Be careful what you say, what you do, where you go. Not a one of us in this room is strong enough to fight the sin or the devil. God is our weapon. Christ is our weapon. The Bible is our weapon. Peter, and he said, Lord, they'll never take you. I won't let them take you. When Jesus said, I'm going in there, they're going to arrest me, they're going to kill me, they're going to crucify me. Peter said, I'll not let that happen. Peter had good intentions. When they came into the garden, he whipped out the sword. But notice how he got himself in trouble. John chapter 18, verse 25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Started warming himself at the enemy's fire. He didn't go with David or with Jesus. He didn't go with him. He stayed behind. But he went up about halfway and was warming at the fire. You can warm yourself at the devil's fire. I have my own private devotions at home. You can warm yourself with self-satisfaction, and you can take off and, well, we're going to go to a ball game. We won't be here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You can warm yourself and your heart into thinking you're worshiping God, but the devil's setting you up. That's exactly what he's doing. And he said that he warmed himself. And they said unto him, art thou also one of his disciples? No. The brave Peter that cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. The brave Peter that said, I'll stand for you. Now in his crisis hour denies the Lord. How many times have you been out and God said, see that man over there? See that lady over there? Would you take a track over and just hand it to him? Ask him to read it? Oh, people will think I'm a nut. I get nervous when I do things like that. I don't know if I could do that or not. Just warm yourself at the devil's fires. Well, those will be going to the devil's fire. One of his servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? I think I saw you there. I saw you going into church. And now you're out here drinking and carousing with us and smoking drugs. I thought, oh, I just go because Mom and Dad make me. Peter denied again. And immediately the cock crowed. Jesus told him that would happen. Oh, what have I done? What have I done? Number two, he comes to get you a little bit at a time. But his intent is to get everything you have and destroy you if you're a child of God. He don't bother the lost people. He don't hang out in the bars. He hangs out in churches. He goes where God's people are or where one of his is happen to get in, and he don't want them to get saved. So he knows what he's doing. He didn't call Eve and say, hey, come out of the garden, I want to talk to you. He went in the garden. He knows what he's doing. John 8:24. Jesus talking. We've been studying John on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Ye are of your father the devil. You ever hear people sing the song, oh, we're all God's children? No, we're not. You're not a child of God until you get saved, washed in the blood, confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Child of the devil. Oh, look at that baby, little sinner. When he grows up, he'll have to be saved. When he gets to age, understand, he'll have to get saved. Look at our new baby, Mr. Hodge. Yeah, he's a cute little sinner. You have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Why do people do what they're doing? Why does that Putin do the stuff he's done? Why does he murder and kill and rob and steal? He's a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. Last days we hear of wars and rumors of wars. Paul told Timothy, be men to be truce breakers. Remember them saying that? It's all unfolding before us. And still people sit cold in their pew and will not come to Christ. The door is about to open And the Bible says that hell has enlarged herself. Means the crowd's getting bigger and bigger and bigger that's going to hell. In Matthew, he said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way that leads destruction, and many go that way." You can pretend and play church with people, but you can't fool God. And there'll be that day. There'll be that day. He's getting a little bit of you at a time. Listen to what the compromises that he made to Moses, Pharaoh, when he wanted God's people. He said, okay, because he went through several plagues. He was starting to hurt. He was like Putin, hurting him a little bit. He said, okay, Moses, you can take the people out, but don't go too far, because I want you to come back. Oh, you can go Sunday morning, but don't start that Sunday night and Wednesday night stuff. Don't get too good at it. No. Don't do that. You got to go with me on Sunday night. Hello? Your phone ringing? You better answer it. Oh, the second, what did he say? Go, but leave your valuables. Don't take your valuables. Go, but don't take your checkbook. Go, but don't take your money. Maybe a dollar. That'd be enough to satisfy him. Huh? Hello? Is God ringing your bell? Is God saying hello? Better answer it. Oh, and guess the last one. Go, but leave your young people at home. Doesn't it sound like a modern-day story? Oh, Mom, they're all gathering down at the creek tonight. They're going to sing some hymns down there, and then we're going to go ice skating or something. We'll go down there tonight. That'd be okay. Okay, honey, be careful. A little bit at a time. The devil wants your child. He wants your home. He wants your money. He wants everything you have. And then when it's all gone, he'll stand while you weep like Peter, while you weep like David, and say, I got you now. I trapped you. Sin will cost a Christian. Let's look at what it cost him. David's sin took his life. Absalom. That's a nice story to study. I fix it into a modern-day story. He's riding a mule, and he could have been riding a white horse. He reminds me of these guys that take that beautiful Harley motorcycle and chop it up into a choppy, got hair flowing out of their head. He let his hair grow long, looks like a big hippie, and he was flying through the battle, and the mule he was riding on was jumping around. His hair flew up and flew over a limb and caught it and jerked him and broke his neck. How about that? The devil knows what he's doing, doesn't he? David weeping, my son Absalom. My son. You see, when David committed that sin and Nathan come to him, by the way, they say preacher's not supposed to get involved in politics. Nathan went right into the king. And he said, I want to tell you a story, king. Well, yeah. Family out here got one little sheep they like to pet. And you know what? Some men come and stole it and killed it for his house. David said that man ought to pay fourfold. He paid fourfold. The child conceived in sin died. Absalom, one of his favorite sons, died. And war never left him. Look at B. He gets paid back. He gets paid back. Sin carries a price, folks. And a Christian, no, you won't die and go to hell. Yes, you'll go into heaven. But you'll pay for it before you get there. David knew what it was to weep. David's not going to get to build a temple. His son is going to build it, Solomon, because of his hands with war. This war is all about men's sin. Men sinning. War never left him. David the king stood upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brother and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house for the rest of the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the footstool of God, and hath made ready the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for me, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." God knows what he's doing, folks. When he gets to your heart, when it's tender, I remember as a young boy, 12 years old, I don't know, they didn't have correct doctrine, but a little holiness church, I would hold on to the pew till the pew cracked. And they're begging us to come to the altar. And I didn't go. I got into drinking, wrecked cars, did crazy stuff. That's enough about me. But sin has its price. It has a price. Do you hear me? It will get you. And it starts out with the little things. It's not the big animal tearing the wall down. The Bible says the little foxes get there and then tear the wall down. We won't spend any more time on that one. But it cost his son Absalom's life. War never left his house. He couldn't build it. His son, another son, raped his daughter. In 2 Samuel 3:10, we have an account of that story. And Ammon said unto Tamar, "Bring the meat in the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Ammon her brother. And when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said, "Come lie with me, my sister." Oh, what a picture. Half brother and sister, descendants of David, his children. Think about it. And she answered, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for such a thing ought not to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools of Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her, and being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her." More of David's sin catching up with him. She had to confess that. What happened? And that baby, back that David conceived in another man's wife, it died. Four times, David got great tragedy in his life. Man after God's own heart. Listen to me. That's why the devil went after him. Because he was one of the choicest of God's servants. He goes after the high prizes. People say, "Why did it have to happen to that good person?" None of us is so good that we cannot be tricked up, trapped up, taken by the devil's snares. He knows what he's doing. He's a master at it. He's the prince, was once the prince of all the angels in heaven. He was called Lucifer, the son of the morning, the brightest angel. And he puts on that cloak when he comes to you. He wants your son. He wants your daughter. He wants your family. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy the church. That's what he's after, to damn souls into hell. 2 Samuel 12:18, and it came to pass on the seventh day. This is the payment back for the conceiving of a baby to another man's wife. And the servants of David feared to tell him, "The baby's born, but it's not well." And they're doing all kinds of praying. And finally, the baby died. It said, "And the child was dead. And they behold, while the child was alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? He'll go out of his mind. Because he knew what he'd done was wrong. I don't have the answer printed before me, but the answer was, his answer was, I cannot bring the child back, but I can go to the child. He knew he was a saved man. He knew he was getting chastised for his sin and sins. He knew that. Committing adultery, killing another man, lying about it, all of that. David, a man after God's own heart, once Satan weakens you with that dart of evil stuff that he's got, and as your heart quivers to want to do the truth again, he holds you in his bonds to lead you in deeper sin and deeper sin. In conclusion, look, sin has its payments. It takes you farther than you want to go. That young preacher, he never wanted to wind up with a dirty shirt with coffee stains on it. When he came to church, before that, he was immaculate dressed, very articulate, very good at what he did, very humble under the pastor, not trying to dethrone him, doing his work, could sing, could lead music, could preach, could teach. He never wanted to wind up like a bum begging for money to get by. My, how the devil changes the picture. We see the picture of him sitting at the grill, cooking, inviting family, friends over, pulling out the Budweiser, pulling out this and something else. They don't show us the wrecks on the highway. They don't show us the drug houses. They don't show us all that when they advertise their drug and their drink so that you can get a hold of it. It'll take you a lot farther than you planned on go. He didn't plan on that. David didn't plan on that end. That's what sin does. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. I was going to go, Mom, and come home, but they said stay. Then they brought out the cigarettes. And then some more stuff. And after a while, I was just too inability. I couldn't leave. That's what they want to do. Remember Samson? Bind him hand and foot. Punched out his eyes. Led him away to a prison. The strongest man in the world. The strongest man. The hero. But the devil got him. Kept coming back. Kept coming back. Bind him. Bind him. And lastly, it'll cost you more than you want to pay. More than you want to pay. When I was drinking and carousing, when I run out of money, I'd write a bad check. Didn't matter. I'd pay it back tomorrow. I didn't have any more tomorrow than I had that day. The devil knew how to get hold of me. Sucked me in. I'm glad I got freed from that. I was not a Christian at that time. The devil was taking me. As a matter of fact, the devil didn't have to do anything to me. I went and did it for him. I was one of the devil's men. Thank God. And I would like to think that I have as much excitement and as much exuberance for God as I had for the devil. Yep. I don't know if the devil's attacked you yet, but I can assure you he will. Anytime you decide to do something for God, anytime we have a night like we had last night, the devil's mad. The devil's angry. The devil's mad at us. And he's showed his angry teeth around here many times. So we have to draw nigh to God. The Bible says draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. The Bible says flee the devil. Get in the car, go home. walk home. Call me. Call your mom. Call your dad. Don't stay with that crowd and wind up in the pit before it's too late and the door is shut and you can't get out. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come to Thee because You are our help, You are our strength, You are our provider, You are everything, You are what we need. People need the Lord, people need Jesus, people need the gospel, people need the Bible. Lord, help us not to stop until we get to the pearly gates, preaching and teaching the Word of God. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed as the piano plays, I'm not trying to find out who did what or what you do. That's between you and God. But the altar's here to use. If you've got a need in your heart, you've got a battle that you're fighting, you've got a friend that's fighting it, the altar is your help. Come and tell God, help me to read my Bible and pray more. Help me to have more answers for my friends. Help me to be a witness for Christ. And if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ, this is the time. Come now. If you're a Christian, you know you're saved, know you accept God, raise your hand. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. God bless you. I didn't see who didn't raise your hand, but if you didn't, pray a prayer like this before it's too late. Dear Lord, in the best way I know how, I confess I'm a sinner. But I want to turn from my sin. And I believe Jesus Christ died on that cross for me and paid my price. And I trust Him and His shed blood to wash me now. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you lift your hand so I can pray for you? If anybody prayed that prayer? Well, I pray that you did if you couldn't before. We're going to sing a closing hymn. You still have the altar to come and pray for your children, your family, your friends. What number are we singing? 467. 467. folks, we need Jesus. You know, we talk a lot about the problems, and that's all right. Transvestite, homosexual, yeah, but you know what that is? Sin. Sin caused all that. And you know what can fight that? The Word of God. Well, we can just shun them and say, you know, but we got to, it's getting bigger and bigger and more. We need Jesus. There was a preacher preached a sermon, something like I preached this morning. As he's going out the door, finally one lady come. She said, "Preacher, the devil doesn't bother me like you're talking about." He said, "Lady, I'd be afraid. He don't bother people that's already his and already doing what he wants to." And the worst thing that you can do is do nothing. That's what a great historian said. Our biggest problem when lady asked Ben Franklin if we'd lose what kind of government we had, and he said, "We got a Republican. A republic, if you can keep it. It takes protection. We thought we could just enjoy it." And our Christian life is the same way. A lot of Christians are miserable. That guy was a saved man I told you about. I don't know where he is today, if he's even alive. Thank you for coming. Come back tonight. We'll do some more. Mike, would you have our closing prayer, please?